Text for the sermon this morning is in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Where the apostle, by the Spirit, writes, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, last Lord's Day we considered together what it means to live not as fools, but as wise. We looked at the marks of fools and the contrast between the fool and the wise. The Bible speaks of wisdom more than 200 times. It uses the word wise, such as here in Ephesians 5, verse 16 or 15, more than 120 times. What is wisdom? God is wisdom. Christ became for us wisdom from God. Wisdom that is from above is life-changing knowledge that bears the fruit of godliness in our lives. If you're not constantly growing in knowledge that impacts your life so that you become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, you're walking as a fool instead of as wise. This morning we look together at two more things in this passage. First, every Christian has wisdom. And second, we look at the way that we are to manifest this wisdom. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, the Holy Spirit of wisdom declares that every true Christian possesses the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has made wisdom for us. If we are saved, we possess wisdom. The Spirit says in our text, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." He means you must not behave as fools because you are wise in the Lord. The fact that you are joined to Jesus Christ by true faith, worked in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God, means that you are wise. And therefore the Lord says, do not live as fools or as unwise people, but live out of the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. Live out of Christ Himself. In the Bible, God tells us that every person is either a Christian or a non-Christian. There's no third category or group of people. You either belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, or else you belong to your father, the devil. You either are in the kingdom of God or else you're in the kingdom of Satan. You either set your mind on things that are above where Christ is at the right hand of the Father, or else you love the world and all the things that are in the world. You either are wise or you are unwise. Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 24, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." And then Jesus said in verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." And in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 and 2, Jesus likened the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins who went out to meet the bridegroom and took their lamps with them. Now 5 of those virgins were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. Wise and foolish is a fundamental division. The world seeks after wisdom. The word philosophy means love of wisdom. Philosophers are constantly searching for wisdom. They're constantly searching for ultimate knowledge and understanding. Man is constantly trying to discover wisdom, but he never succeeds. Wisdom always eludes him, in spite of his great genius and ability. This world is filled with schools and universities and colleges in which people are all seeking wisdom and knowledge. They do research seeking for wisdom and knowledge. Clever and learned people write books to impart wisdom and knowledge. With all of its cleverness and abilities, the world cannot find wisdom. People are still seeking for wisdom today as diligently as they ever were. People study the Greek philosophers. They study every religion under the sun. They study Eastern mysticism. They study Native Americans. The world, with all of its genius and its brilliance, cannot obtain wisdom. Brothers and sisters, what the world cannot obtain, the Christian already has. The Christian is a wise man. He has the wisdom which the world desperately seeks. Why? Why does the Christian have the wisdom, but the world cannot find it? Proverbs 1 verse 7 tells us, the world does not have wisdom, but the Christian does, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says it this way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you do not fear God, you do not have Christ, and therefore you do not have wisdom. I do not care how many years you have studied, or how many schools you have attended, or how many degrees you have earned. If you do not have Jesus Christ, if the Spirit of the living God is not dwelling in you, if He has not given you a new heart, a new soul, a new mind, a new will, a new life, then you do not fear God and you do not have wisdom. You must humble yourself before God. The Holy Spirit of God must show you how empty and worthless all your learning is without Jesus Christ. You must count all that you know as rubbish, that you might believe the gospel of Christ. Paul was a very learned man, but he counted everything that was gained to him as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, for the message of the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of the world, or rather, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Why do we preach Christ crucified? What wisdom is in that? Paul says Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. God has not chosen many wise of the world, wise according to the flesh, wise according to schools attended and degrees obtained. God has not chosen many mighty men or many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise of the world. But of God, you are in Jesus Christ, beloved, who became for us wisdom from God, and who became for us righteousness from God, and who became for us sanctification from God, and who became for us redemption from God, that as it is written in Holy Scripture, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We have wisdom from God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became for us wisdom. Wisdom from God. Are you aware of this wonderful blessing from God to you in the Lord Jesus Christ? By the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, we who have true faith fear God. And we have true wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We have the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding about life and about the world, which the world is vainly seeking to discover. But the world and all of its supposed wisdom can never find, we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. How has this happened? First, the Holy Spirit of God has opened our eyes to see the wisdom of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's opened our understanding to see it. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in Christ. What men seek is hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot see it because they are spiritually blind. They are spiritually dead. The wisdom of God is spiritually discerned. The answer to all the problems in the world are in the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer for every problem that you face this morning in your life, or that anyone else faces in life, is in Jesus Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. It is all there. If people only knew Christ, they would possess this wisdom that comes from above. Christian is a person whose heart and mind the Holy Spirit has opened to the truth, to the wisdom of God as it is in Jesus Christ. A Christian has come to see the great principles which govern right thinking and living. Christianity is not the wisdom of this world. It is the wisdom of God, which is far greater than all the wisdom of men. The Christian faith, the wisdom of God, is a complete system of thought and understanding. It teaches us the purpose and the meaning of life and the purpose and meaning of every fact in the universe. It teaches us the true meaning of history. It teaches us the truth about the future and eternity. Part of being light in the Lord and walking as children of light is to show in the world that all the wisdom and all the knowledge that people need is only in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit alone is able to open the eyes of the understanding and the heart and the life of a person to see these great truths. The great truths that undergird all of life, that undergird all of history, that undergird all of creation. The Holy Spirit also gives the Christian a new heart and a new life. He opens our eyes to see, but He makes us new. He causes us to be born again from above, so that we are spiritually alive instead of spiritually dead. In order to walk circumspectly as wise, not as fools, we need not only to see the wisdom that is in Christ, but second, we also need Jesus Christ living in us. We need the life of God in our souls. We need the power of God in us. We need to partake of the nature of God by true faith. living out of Christ Himself, who is the true vine. We need the Holy Spirit of wisdom to dwell in us and to work in us both to will and to do wisely according to God's wisdom and truth. We need the Spirit of God to put to death and conquer the many sinful forces of folly that constantly rise up within us by nature as a result of the fall of man into sin. The Christian has not only changed the way that he looks at life and at the world, but he is also changed. He is a new creation in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Christian has a new mind. He has a new strength. He has a new power. He has a new life in Christ that sees and obeys the wisdom and the truth and the knowledge of God, which He has revealed to us in His Word, the Bible. But then also third, the Holy Spirit of God lives within the believer. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? By the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom who is dwelling in me, by the grace of God, I can rule over the sinful desires in my heart and in my life. I can put them to death. I can put them off. I can make no provision for the lusts of my sinful nature. I can rule over my emotions and my moods. I can rule over my feelings. And instead of living by how I feel at the moment, I can live instead by the wisdom of God in the Scriptures so that I am able to do what pleases the Lord. Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given to us His Holy Spirit. To walk in wisdom, to walk in love, to walk in understanding, to walk in the truth, to walk in obedience to our Father in heaven rather than obeying the flesh and sin and Satan and the world. Spirit of wisdom enables us to live godly lives in Christ Jesus. The unbeliever is not wise because he is blind to the truth, and he does not have the life of God in him, and the Spirit of the living God does not dwell in him. He's just the opposite of the believer. How can the unbeliever be wise? He lives by his own heart and mind. He lives by this sinful world. He is a fool and he cannot find true wisdom, and that is why it is so foolish. Send your children to study the folly of man, which is taught in so many of the schools across our land, rather than the wisdom of God. When God saves a sinner, He takes him out of the grip of folly. He separates him from the world, and He gives him the wisdom that comes from above. We possess God's wisdom. That is the wisdom which we are to exhibit in our lives and in our words. We must call to the unbeliever, awake from sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light and wisdom. And that brings us to the second matter this morning. How does the believer manifest this wisdom that God gives to him? Our text says that the primary characteristic of a Christian who has the wisdom of God is that he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? Circumspectly means accurately, carefully. The believer looks before he jumps. He looks around and carefully examines before he does anything. He does not rush madly and impulsively. No, he looks, examines, inspects, weighs, and makes a wise and careful decision. The wise Christian is the opposite of the rash fool who is governed by his instincts and his impulses and his desires and his foolish zeal. To walk circumspectly means that you walk strictly according to God's word, which is the written revelation of God's wisdom. The wise man considers his relationship to God and his relationship to other people. And his relationship to God's creation. The fool only thinks of himself and what he wants right now. The wise person does not live to himself but unto the Lord. Every morning when he wakes up, he reminds himself, I'm not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who makes me ready and willing from the heart to live unto him. The believer reminds himself every morning of the condition of others so that he might shine the light of Jesus Christ effectively upon them, so that the Spirit of the living God might awaken them from darkness and death and sin and bring them to the light of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That is what it means to walk circumspectly. We must think of our words and how our actions will affect other people. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 29, we must consider other people's conscience. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify or build others up. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other person's well-being. That is how the wise person thinks and lives. The foolish man says, if this is right and I have a right to do it, how it affects other people does not matter to me in the least. And so he does it and he offends his brother or sister for whom Christ died and does great harm to the people of God and to the unbelievers. Walking circumspectly means that we consider how our words and actions affect others. That is wisdom. The Christian exercises great tact and patience. He sees the truth clearly, and he desires that everyone else might see the truth clearly also. But we must understand why the unbeliever does not see the truth clearly. He's blinded by the god of this world so that he's not able to see it. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor is he able to know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Christian realizes this. And therefore, he's careful how he speaks. He does not ram the truth down people's throats, but he meets people where they are. And he seeks to show them where they could be. The Christian considers that people are all different. They're not all the same. Paul says that he spoke to those who were under the law as under the law himself. He spoke to the circumcised one way and to the uncircumcised in another way. He was all things to all people that he might by all means save some. We must do this too. There are different types of people with different gifts and abilities in different positions and circumstances. We must present the truth of God in such a way that it will reach each person where he is. That is walking circumspectly. If we are only concerned about ourselves and do not assess the situation or the other person, we are fools without a true love of souls. This is also true in the church of Jesus Christ. If something does not help you, it may help someone else in the body of Christ. And that is why the Lord continually commands us to bear with one another in love. We must grow together. We're all at different places. And if you do not quite understand something, someone else probably does. Seek to get yourself there too. That is growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is wisdom. That is walking circumspectly. You see the Apostle Paul walking circumspectly in the book of Acts. We read this morning Acts chapter 26. Where the Apostle Paul speaks to the King Agrippa and his wife, and Festus and his wife. Paul stretched out his hand and he answered for himself and he said, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently." What magnificent wisdom! What circumspect walking! He speaks favorably in any way that he can of King Agrippa. He wants to win him to Christ. Does not attack him. He meets him exactly where he is and he starts from that point. He tries to win people to the truth of God and to the wisdom of God. Knowledge must be applied. And our method must fit with our wisdom. It must flow out of that wisdom. The wisdom of God must be both in our message and in our method, in our manner. The Christian is wise because he has a correct view of life and of the world. And he knows that the world is evil, and therefore the days are evil. The non-Christian thinks that the days are wonderful. They've never been better. We've never had it so good. The days are not evil. There's plenty to do, plenty of money, plenty of fun, plenty of everything. But the man who has wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above, says the days are evil. The days are filled with the wickedness and the sin of man. They're filled with the tricks and the wiles of the devil. Apostle Paul writes, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The world is evil. The days are evil. The world is pernicious. The world is filled with forces and persons and things that are hostile to God and in daily opposition to Him and His Word and His Christ and His kingdom. We used to be evil too. But God quickened us. God made us alive. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, when we walked according to the evil course of this world, when we were governed by Satan, He delivered us from that. And now we can see the evil of the days in which we live. We can see the evil of men and the evil of the world in which we live. We can see the evil of Satan and of men by which they seek to bring ruin to God's good creation. Evil is pernicious. The ungodly are actively wicked. And therefore, it is all the more important that we walk with wisdom, that we walk circumspectly. It is all the more important that we walk carefully, that we walk according to the wisdom of God given us in the Scriptures. It is all the more important that we shine the light of God in this dark and wicked world. If you think that you will never be a light to anyone, how will you ever awaken any poor, condemned soul that lies under the wrath of God? The world is in the midst of a great conflict between God and His Christ, between the host of heaven and the Holy Spirit, and on the other side, the devil and all of his dominion. You and I are involved in this great conflict. The days are evil. And that is why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we must put on the whole armor of God. And that with the shield of faith and with the sword of the Spirit, we must battle against all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Do you realize the evil that is all around you? Do you see this world as the city of destruction, as John Bunyan describes it in Pilgrim's Progress? You see the powers of hell that are behind the beautiful appearances. Do you see the evil and the wickedness of men? They're constantly conniving to ruin and to wreck everything that is good. The world is vile and pernicious. But the man who walks circumspectly is a man who sees the evil of the world and who realizes that he must be careful in how he lives. He must be careful in what he reads. He must be careful what he accepts and how he is influenced by the world. There's so much in the world that can harm my soul, that can blunt my discernment, that can remove the barriers and the safeguards that protect me from sin, that can undermine my resistance, that can weaken my judgment. It's difficult to walk straight and true, in purity, circumspectly, with wisdom in this evil world. The days are evil. Therefore, we must all the more walk circumspectly. We must be all the more careful. We must be careful not to accept the wickedness that constantly bombards us. We must be careful not to lower the standard of God's holy word in how we view this world. The wise man keeps studying the word of God. He keeps applying that word to the world in which he lives and to his own life. He keeps seeking more and more of the light and the wisdom of Jesus Christ so that he may more and more clearly think God's thoughts after him and see the wickedness and evil of men and of the world in which he is living. And since the days are evil, since the world is wicked, it is critical that we redeem the time. It is critical that we make use of every opportunity. It is critical that we buy up the opportunity that God gives to us every day. It is critical that we use all that God has given to us to serve Him, to do His will here on earth. This world is passing away. We're only strangers and pilgrims in it. Our citizenship is in heaven. And yet, in this life, God has placed us in this world that we might do His work. That we might pray for and work for the coming of His kingdom, which is the submission of men and creation to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has exalted to be King over all. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. We have no time to waste. We must make use of every moment and every opportunity that God gives us. And we must bring the word of Christ to those who are around us, that they might see the light, that their eyes might be opened, that their hearts might be changed through the power of the Spirit. The wise man is always looking around. He's always assessing what he sees in the light of the Scripture and by the wisdom of God. He's always seeking to shine the light and the wisdom of Christ wherever he goes. He walks circumspectly. Behind all the facade of the wisdom of this world, behind all the happiness and all the merriment, behind all the money and all the stuff, he sees the evil. He sees the condemnation of God upon sin. He sees the misery and the wretchedness of sinners. He sees the tricks and deceit of the devil. He says, I am the representative of the Father in heaven. I'm the representative of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm the representative of the Holy Spirit and all the host of heaven. I belong to the family of God, and my time in this world is an opportunity to live for the Lord, to shine the light and wisdom of Christ in this world to men and women and children, to show them that there's another life, there's a better life, there's a life of glory, a life of holiness, a life of communion and fellowship with God, a life that never ends. As you look at the world around you, do you wish you were more like it? Or do you see bondage? People in the grip of sin, unable to get free. I bring the light, the wisdom, the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around you, redeeming the time, walking circumspectly. That's our duty. That's what God has made us new in Christ for. That's our purpose. That those who are in darkness, those who are in bondage to sin, those who are in chains, in death, may be awakened, may arise from the grave, may be set free from the death of sin, and begin to see the glory of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, in the person of Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit. And you've opened our eyes, you've opened our minds to see you in your glory, to see your wisdom, to see your truth, and by faith. You've made us new creatures in Christ that we might possess this wisdom that the world so desperately seeks. Father, we pray that we might understand these things that you are teaching us in your word, and that we might be light, that we might cultivate wisdom as we grow in knowledge and in faith and in love and in understanding, and that we might see that we walk circumspectly, that we walk with wisdom, understanding what your will for us is and learning how to do what you have called us to do, how to meet people where they are, as Jesus did, as Paul did, and as all who are yours do. Father, we pray that we may not want to have more of what this world has to offer, but that we may see every opportunity and seize every opportunity that you give to bring your wisdom and your gospel, to bring Christ and Him crucified to the world that is lost, groping in darkness. Father, make us bright lights. Make your church to shine brightly. Shine brightly even now through your Spirit into our hearts. Teach us what we need to learn. Bring us to true faith and repentance. And cause us to be built up in the most holy faith, that all of your people may be gathered into your church, that with one heart and one voice they may praise you both now and forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.